We've invested at PRH so much in our production team. We have 20 producers. I don't know if any of the other big houses have 20 producers on staff who all have their own individual title load and they are dedicated to doing all of this author care. Where I get concerned for actors is the people who are brand new and are looking for experience. And perhaps authors who need an audiobook made easily could turn to AI.
Coming directly from the horseshoe crowd capital of the world, get a leg up and get ready for the hydrant. And now, the man voted most likely to become Dolly Parton's lead dresser, your host, Jim Cooper.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Hydrant. Julie Wilson is with me today. And if you're in the voiceover industry, I don't have to tell you about her. You know who she is. If you're not in the VO industry, Julie has been in the audiobook field with Penguin Random House forever. She helped create and found a neat little program that they have called Ahab Talent, which really increases diversity. I think it was the kind of the point of that initially, because that had become a big subject all of a sudden. But she was director of casting and strategic partnerships at PRH. She's done thousands of audiobooks. I mean, she works with, you know, unknowns like Alicia Keys, Brandi Carlile, Seth Rogen, Willie Nelson, you know, the minor players in the game. She's branched out recently, though, and started something new, which she calls the Articulate Coach. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that right up front. So first of all, thank you for doing this and welcome to the show.
I'm so happy to be here, Jim. Thank you so much for having
me. My pleasure. My pleasure. What was it that kind of triggered you in your head to say, you know what, this looks like a niche I need to help fill? So what was your thought process behind that?
Yeah, there were two things going on simultaneously when I started the Articulate Coach. And one of them was we were still kind of isolated from the pandemic. And so my world felt so much smaller than it normally does when I'm out in the world. I was working from home 100% of the time. And I was really craving growing community, as I always crave growing community. That's like my MO everywhere in life. And then the other thing that started to happen, or like continued to happen, I guess, is that I continued to move higher up in my role at Penguin Random House. And I continued to move into this position of moving things from a big picture level. And I felt like I started to get more out of touch with the acting community than I wanted to be. And of course, I'm still running Ahab and developing programming around that. But the one-on-one time with actors just felt like it was shrinking.
Okay.
And as you may know, as many people in the acting community know, I grew up with actors. My dad was a Broadway actor. My sister's a film and TV actor. I grew up in a community in Manhattan that's an artist complex. So artists are my family. They're right. My community. And so I started feeling like I need to find a way to get back to this. So I put some post-its on my wall that said community, storytelling, and a few other quotes to kind of get my wheels turning. And I started, you know, it felt like a little thing I was going to do on the side. And it's really grown into this deeply meaningful business that I've grown.
Which is wonderful. And if anyone listening, if you want to go out to her website, it's thearticulatecoach.com and the Articulate Academy. So that just triggers in my mind. It's like, uh-oh, she's thinking of other things down the road as well. It's not going to stop with this coaching deal. Can you reveal any of those, or where do you want to take this? I guess it's a good question.
Yeah, I think the way I always approach these projects, it's kind of how I approached Ahab, was there is a vision, but I'm also following the bouncing ball and seeing what I'm excited about, what I'm passionate about, what's working. So it started out with exclusively one-on-one coaching. And since then, it's expanded into both one-on-one coaching, but also courses. And part of that transition has been, I only have so many hours in the day. And the truth is, I can only take on a really select number of clients every week. And some clients stay for a really long time. Some clients stay for a few sessions. And so I wanted to find a way that I could have a greater impact and help more people while not my current wait list is about a year long for one-on-one sessions.
What a surprise.
And so I needed a way to help people in real time and not just say, oh, I'll help you in a year. So I've now grown this course program that I'm continuing to build out. And there's different courses for different things that actors can learn, but it's all built on what actors have told me what's important to them. And that's been one of the most important conversations here, is asking people, what do you need? What are you missing? And marrying that with what I learn in my one-on-one coaching sessions of what's really helpful for actors.
Because I really love the tagline that you use that's on your website. It's like, my goal is to help you craft performances that feel uniquely you. I mean, it's not like you're trying to force a mold onto anyone. And I've seen you do this with a lot of the other people and some of the other calls that we've been on, that you're really interested in helping that person discover their voice and how it can be applied to whatever project is going on in your world. So that's really cool.
Yeah. Just one note there is my dad was an actor on Broadway, and then he became a therapist. And my mom's been a therapist, honestly, since she was 10 years old.
So you're telling me you're very well adjusted, is what you're telling me.
I have been raised on finding my voice my entire life. And it isn't as a narrator, but that's been my parents' way of parenting is helping me find my voice and passions. And so, yes, I'm tilting my whatever program I have, which, like, I don't even like the word program. Every session, even every course, every time I run a course, I'm actively getting feedback from people so I can help them individually.
Right. Right. That's a heck of a jump from actor to therapist. I mean, it's not that it wasn't needed. I'm sure it was, especially with a group of actors, as we're all neurotic anyway. But so that's a big leap. That was a courageous leap.
You would think so. But in the performing arts community that I grew up in, a lot of actors become therapists.
Really?
Yes. And my mom, who was never an actor, did her PhD thesis in the psychology of actors. There's a lot of crossover here because it's all about understanding people to this really deep depth and then putting it back on the other person in a certain way. So I think if you think about it, there's actually a lot more parallel there than you would think to begin with.
And that's surprising, but with your description just now, it's like, okay, I can see the connections there and see how that makes sense, but it is something I'd never thought of before. And that's really wild. So let's talk a little bit about casting, because we're seeing more and more in the audiobook world of casting rather than hiring a narrator. We're seeing a lot more of, like, the old-fashioned, I hate that word old-fashioned, old-time, because it's wrong, but the radio casting drama kind of thing, where we're seeing more books have a cast of people, which I personally love. I think it's great. But is that, you see that continuing to grow and grow, or is that kind of shrinking back down?
Yeah, it's definitely continuing to grow. I would say about 8 years ago at this point was when we started to really experiment with full cast recordings. And we had done them before, but it felt like we're always trying to, when I'm wearing my PRH hat, we're always trying to burst the boundaries of what we're doing, do something innovative, do something cool that really supports the book in front of us. And now it's become a pretty semi-regular practice that we're producing full cast recordings. Mm. I don't think I would go so far as to say I do one every year. If I wanted to do one every year, I absolutely could. But we have a lot of choice in the books we produce at Penguin Random House. But El Defo, which just won the Odyssey Award, which was produced by Maddie Argyropoulos, is a graphic novel adaptation. And it was based, I believe, upon a TV show. I love that audiobook, by the way. If anyone wants to listen to it, I highly recommend.
And Maddie's so good at what she does. It's just
she's so great.
Yeah.
And so when I'm not producing them, I'm listening to them. And I get a lot of questions these days about the future with these full cast recordings in mind. And it's just, I think they're going to continue to grow. I don't see them taking over single voice recordings or multi-voice recordings. One, they're real expensive.
And I would say that was going to be my next question. It's like, if you get a bunch of actors, well-known and well-respected actors, that's not going to be cheap.
Yeah. So I think it's going to continue to be a piece of the pie that continues to grow, but the overall pie is also continuing to grow. So yeah, they're fun. I love producing them. I love listening to them.
Let's talk about another slice of that pie that's, you know, the elephant in everybody's living room, AI.
Yeah.
You know, everyone has an opinion on it, and everyone looks in their crystal ball and sees something different. And it's so new, and yeah, it's still kind of the Wild West. From your perspective as the producer at PRH, what kind of impact has it had on the things that you do on a daily basis? Has it had a big impact, or is it just kind of noise off to the side?
So it kind of depends on like which version of AI are we talking about? Are we talking about casting AI voices? Are we talking about AI tools that help in the workplace?
Let's talk about casting AI voices, because tools in the workplace, that's so huge. I can't even start to think about it. So let's focus on casting.
Yeah, I would say that it is the Wild West and no one fully understands it or where it's going. And in terms of casting, our main goal at PRH is to serve the authors. And so I can't imagine a world where we begin to say, yep, AI voices, you know, because we've invested at PRH so much in our production team, in our casting team. We have 20 producers. Mm. Like, I don't know if any of the other big houses have 20 producers on staff who all have their own individual title load and they are dedicated to doing all of this author care. We're investing a lot of time and money into that. Where I get concerned for actors is the people who are brand new and are looking for experience. And perhaps, I have not seen this, but perhaps authors who need a book made, audiobook made easily, could turn to AI. And these are authors, most likely they don't have much of a budget. They're independent. But a lot of those independent authors, those are the opportunities for actors to break in and really record that first book. Most actors don't come to PRH, Simon Schuster, Macmillan, Harper, et cetera, and do their very first book. So I haven't seen it affecting our casting process right now. But the future's open. I think what's really good right now is we're all having these ethics conversations. You know, this was the major thing with SAG-AFTRA and the SAG-AFTRA strike and being aware of what's going on and not just having these conversations, but people making a stand for their rights. And that's something that we all need to continue to pay attention to, because unfortunately, it feels like AI came for the arts first, whether it's AI art, like visual art, or AI voices, and that's, I think, not what we expected it to do. I think a lot of people expected it to come for more maybe engineering jobs, which of course it's coming for as well. But honestly, for me, it's like, there is always a lot of fear on all sides because it's really new. And people's livelihood is attached to these things, and people's art, which is the most important thing for them, is attached to these things. So just education is just the word. It's just continuing to educate yourself every week, adding clauses to your contracts if you feel like they're needed, about your voice not being used for AI purposes or AI learning. But yes, education is really big for us.
And not just contracts. I've added AI language to my auditions because I'll write a note to, particularly with the independent authors, I'll write a note to them and say, hey, by the way, can't use it for this. And I was having this conversation I was on a call with the Nonfiction Writers Association. And this topic actually came up and the debate was just what you were talking about. It's like, yes, we would love to have the human voice, but we don't have the budget. You know, as a new person or a new author or whatever it happens to be, then the discussion becomes, well, this is what you got to think about now beforehand, before you even sit down and start writing. What's your budget going to be? What's it going to include? What's it not going to include? So that debate is definitely going on in the independent author circles, because I've been involved in a couple different ones with that. So it's definitely being bantered about. So, and we'll continue to be bantered about, I'm sure, for a while to come. But I agree with you on the ethics conversation, because that's, I had Robert Siglin-Pagli on a few episodes ago, and we talked a lot about the intricacies of that whole SAG-AFTRA deal. So it was interesting to hear to hear how that went. So, okay, let me ask you some of these silly questions, and we'll see where it takes us. And I'm going to start right where we left off a year or so ago when we were talking about this. Who would you cast to play you in a movie? I'll be kind and just make it you.
Oh, man. I think I don't even remember my answer, but I like
you didn't
know
have
my
one.
Go-tos.
You backed off completely because I included your family. I was like, who would you cast as your mom and your dad and yourself? And it was just like it went nowhere. So.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I think the person that I always think about, and now she's like even bigger than she was back then, is Emma Stone. You know, she's got the big eyes. I got the big eyes. She got the big smile. But also she has like such amazing range from being like the quirky rom-com, like silly, to being, I just saw Poor Things. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, what an impactful movie. I think everyone should see it. So my dream person, I think, would be Emma Stone.
Okay. That's interesting. I was recording another episode earlier this morning and that person picked Emma Stone as well. So
Emma Stone's the best. Now everyone's going to pick Emma Stone.
What song should play every time you walk into a room?
Oh, okay. There's this song called Colorful by, oh God, Jukebox the Ghost. Is that them?
Well,
yes. Colorful by Jukebox the Ghost. Yes. On my Raya profile, that's my song.
Okay.
It's that enters me into the dating world. but it's basically the feeling behind it is like, hey, let's make the world more colorful. And it's done in this wonderful, upbeat, fun way.
Cool.
Colorful by Jukebox the Ghost. Right.
I don't know what. I'll have to check it out. And that's one of the cool things about asking that question is people come up with stuff I don't know and I get to go listen to it. And it's like, oh yeah, that's a cool song. I want to get that one as well. So that's cool.
It's worth a listen.
Absolutely. What other profession other than those you've tried would you like to attempt?
I always say if I wasn't living my current life, I would live in Costa Rica and I would be the modern day Jane Goodall. So I love plants, animals, nature, science. And a lot of people know that I'm an urban gardener.
I was just about to bring that up. Yeah.
Everything under the sun, Garden Girl NYC on Instagram. And I've just always been fascinated by nature and animals. And like, I can't help but like when I see a little snail on the sidewalk, I go over and I just start talking to it into a tiny little voice. It's the other area of my life that has always lit me
up. That's cool. That's cool. Yeah, we have arguments all the time. There'll be like a spider or something. And she's like, kill that. I'm like, no, I'm not going to kill it. I'm going to get a cup. I'm going to scoop it up and put it back outside. But I'm not going to kill it just because you think it's disgusting.
And when I do have to kill them, I literally say to the tiny bugs, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Just putting yourself on an endless guilt trip. I understand this.
Yes. Yes.
This may be a no-brainer. What breed of dog would you be?
Well, I have an Australian cattle dog who I believe is just me reincarnated as a dog. She's a blue heeler. For anyone listening, if your kids or you watch Bluey, that's who she is. So probably an Australian cattle dog or just my dog, Deli. She is high energy. She's really endlessly curious. She befriends everyone on the street, which is not normal for cattle dogs. They're normally very one person protective.
Right.
And she just loves to run and play and go new places. So yes, I identify as my puppy.
I figured that's where I was going. If you were an ice cream flavor, what would you be?
Ooh, probably something that isn't quite hasn't been invented. Something that's like an amalgamation of two different things. Though, okay, if I have to choose one that's like maybe invented already, it would be maybe Cookie Monster, because it's kind of a spin on like a good classic, like Oreo cookie, but right. It's got like the Cookie Monster and the blue in there. So it's a little bit surprising.
Okay. That's good. I like that. I speak for a living. What sound or noise do you love?
This is quirky. I mean, maybe not. I love mandolin music. I think it's really soothing and beautiful. Are you looking around for a mandolin or something over there?
Just like, okay, fine. Never heard that one before, but that's good.
Yeah. During the pandemic, when it was like really just, I don't know, stressful and needed like some chill time, I would go on Spotify and search for soothing mandolin music. And if you just want to relax, just put on some candles, put on some soothing mandolin music, and it's just like zen.
So your favorite restaurant would be an Italian restaurant where they stroll around with the mandolins and play?
Well, yeah. I guess do they normally use mandolin? That's like it's kind of more of a jarring experience, maybe, right, even though I'm half Italian. But I think that's maybe a little bit too much for me.
What's the name of that Italian? Oh, Osti's in New York, where the waiters were all opera singers, and they ran around singing arias while you were eating dinner. And some of it was very nice, but it gets to the point, it's like, I'm eating here, dude. Enough.
Yeah. It needs to like have its moment and then allow you to have your meal and your conversation.
Right. So what's your least favorite sound or noise?
Oh, God. I'm really bad with, there are certain sounds of knives cutting on plates that it drives me up the wall. And it seems to be, I'm particularly sensitive to it because some people will just be going at it and have no idea. And I'm literally there covering my ears being like, I'm like paralyzed. This is like the worst sound I've ever heard.
I know a lot of people that have problems with that. It's not unusual. What food will you absolutely not under any circumstances eat?
I'm honestly a try everything twice person.
That's unusual. A lot of people have said try everything once, but try everything twice. I like that. Give it a second shot.
I like twice because the first time, you know, there's the shock value there of like whatever weird thing it might be. And the second time, you know, it might be okay. I think the one thing that I ate that I'm just like, I never need to eat that again was chicken feet. I don't think I got anything out of it. It was just very bony and just like, it's so visceral, the feeling of chicken feet. So I tried that once. Maybe that one will be, I won't do it twice, but honestly, I'll probably do it twice.
I'd support you if you didn't want to do it again with that one. That would be just fine. Okay, let's do some either or things. I'll give you two things. You just tell me what your preference is.
I love these. This is so fun. I love doing these types of questions with friends. So I like being on the receiving end of these.
And it happens every so often. I'll have a guest, it'll turn one around on me, and I'm like, I don't know. Okay, here we go. Passenger or driver?
Well, I don't have a driver's license yet, so I will say passenger. As a native New Yorker, I just never got it.
You don't need one, yeah.
I want to get one. That might be my New Year's resolution this year. So we'll see.
I had friends that lived up on 89th and 1st and lived there for 30 years and never owned a car. So it's just like, you don't need one when you're in New York. So
no.
Summer or winter?
Summer. I'm a summer baby, June baby for anyone into astrology. I'm not particularly, but I'm a Gemini. And from what I've read, I'm a Gemini through and through. I love summer. I love not wearing the giant coats and everything. Yep. I just love feeling free and just, yes, warm. And I just have so much more energy in the summer.
I'm right there with you. Bananas or watermelon?
Ooh, my immediate instinct was watermelon. I think because I don't even eat watermelon that much, it feels like such a treat. And you put a little bit of mint on it, maybe a little bit of lime, and oh my gosh, watermelon's so good.
We keep a bucket of it in the summer. We keep a bucket of it chopped up into little cubes in the refrigerator all summer long. And it's just, it's a great snack instead of going for something not healthy. It's great. And it's filled with water. So it fills you up. So,
so yummy.
Toilet paper, over or under?
Over. Yeah. Whenever I put it under, I'm like, that looks wrong to me.
It's got to have something to do with childhood, because people on both sides of the debate are militant about it. And it's just like, you know, this is what I grew up with. It has to be that way. So.
And what have you said to that one?
I said, and someone else said the same thing, which kind of surprised me. I grew up with it under, but now I prefer over.
Interesting.
So
I've rarely met an under person. So okay. Very nice to meet you.
Most of them are over, and the over people get way out of control about it. So it's like, if I go to your house and it's under, I'm changing it. It's like, fine, whatever works for you. Cake or pie?
Cake. I love cake. I also love pie, but I'm a lemon meringue pie person. Other cakes I'm like fine with. I love cake.
Yep.
Oh, it's so good.
Eggs, omelet, or scrambled?
Omelet. I just, what I love about omelets, I'm in a phase where I'm making kind of an omelet a day or like at least every other day. And I like that they become almost like a salad. It's like, what do I want to taste today? What cool things can I throw into it?
Right.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So it can change shape in a certain way.
Okay. You're a New York person. Live theater or movies?
Live theater. My dream, and I'm doing a pretty good job with this, is to see everything I want to see that's on Broadway. I skewed towards musical theater versus, this is the role I have in my family. I'm the one who's seen all of the Disney movies, all the animated movies. So when any award show comes around, I'll tell them, I'm like, oh, that one's going to win. Definitely. And my whole family's like seen all the
right.
Oscar winners, everything else. Yeah. But I love live theater, and that really comes from my dad and profound love of musical theater.
Yeah, with your background, yeah, that makes all the sense in the world. Okay, let me ask you this, because I didn't ask you before, and now that you just said what you said, what Disney character best represents you?
Probably Rapunzel.
Wow. We get so many of those.
Really?
Yes.
You know, my second answer would be Anna from Elsa and Anna, but Rapunzel is just, she's smart, she's take charge, she's got her little animal friend like I do, and she kind of takes no nonsense, and her guy is like this plucky, you know, kind of his own person, and that's also the men I tend to date. So there are so many things in there that I love. And she's also still just very playful and young at heart, while also being one of the stronger female princesses.
Okay. That just brings up another question I didn't ask you, but I'm going to ask it now. What one thing do you not want to hear on a date?
Oh, God. Someone who doesn't ask me questions. I know that's kind of like an empty answer. But, or someone who, you know, there's so many little things you could talk about. Judgmental people really bother me. Like anyone who just says like mean things for no reason about whatever, you know, I hate that. Anything that's just out of touch, anyone who doesn't value emotional intelligence, you know, all of the good deep things that are so meaningful.
That's cool.
I'm sure there's a specific funny joke in there, but like, yeah, all of those things.
Okay. Which superpower would you rather have, invisibility or pamnesia, the power to remember and recall absolutely everything you've ever thought, felt, encountered, or experienced?
Oh, gosh. So I have a weird thing. It's not diagnosable at all, but I have a ridiculous memory for people. Mm-hmm. Like it's kind of like almost a challenge at sometimes, because I remember things and interactions and things that were said between people that a lot of people will never remember. Mm. I'll be like, remember when we did this thing and you said this? And some, and just people are like, what are you talking about? I'm like, here's a photo when we went to this place. I think having like a greater version of that would be so overwhelming. Especially if it's like only you as the superpower, because if no one else can recall these things with you, I think it just would be, yeah, overpowering. Though I don't know if I'd want to be the invisible. I mean, I guess where would I go? I guess I could go on some weird adventures. So I would choose invisibility.
The propensity for mischief is greater with invisibility. So it's just like you could have better adventures that way, I think.
Yes.
Here's another New York question, sort of. Would you rather go skydiving in a rainstorm or climb the antenna at the top of the Empire State Building on a windy day?
Oh, God, those are terrifying.
Yes, they are. Both would kill me. So I understand.
Oh, my gosh. I think we like might really die in both, because if it's a rainstorm, your parachute might not open. And if I think I have such a I boulder, I climb. I tend to climb indoors versus outside. I have such a visceral reaction to like falling. Like I'll have like dreams of like falling off a mountain or something like that. And I think kind of like the idea of skydiving in a rainstorm is so outside of my realm of understanding. So I'll go with that one because it feels less realistic. And so hopefully I'll never find myself in that situation.
The genesis of that question is I found a picture online of two guys working on the antenna at the top of the Empire State Building, and it was taken from above them looking down. So you could see all the way down to the street with them right there. And I got dizzy just looking at the photograph. So I'm just like, no, that's never going to happen.
No, nope. Terrifying.
Would you rather give up your cell phone for a month or bathing for a month?
Cell phone. I think we should all give up our cell phones for a month.
I agree.
And like, I think that's so impossible. Like I can't be without my phone for barely an hour, but I try to have pretty good sleep hygiene with my phone and putting it away. But yeah, I think we should all want to chuck our phones out the window every so often.
I agree. Would you rather have to eat only liver for the rest of your life or be forced to watch an episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians every day?
Oh, God.
Which is usually the reaction I get.
I don't watch reality TV. I was into watching The Bachelor for a few years, but I think I would have to choose seeing the Kardashians every day, though. Oh, my gosh, that getting into your psyche every day is just a nightmare.
It's horrible.
But food is so good. I don't think I could give up. Like, yeah. Yeah, I think I would have to watch it.
That's interesting. That's an interesting perspective that no one else has had. Most people have such a negative reaction to liver, but your take is, I don't want to miss all the other foods that are out there. That's interesting. I like that. Yeah. Would you rather be able to remain immortal or be able to fly?
Oh, gosh. That's a really good one. My immediate reaction was immortality, but I think it would also be a very lonely existence, right? But I think you would end up being a really, really interesting person. And like, if you were like, say you're the only person with immortality, like it would at once be very lonely, I think, because you would understand things to such a profound degree. And yet, what an interesting way to see the world over time.
You'd have to have an incredibly thick skin because you're going to see all the people you love die repeatedly.
Repeatedly.
Yeah, you know, because you'll make this group, then they'll die. And then you'll make this group of friends and they'll die. And you'd have to be immune to that kind of emotional turmoil over the long haul.
You'd have to get used to it. But in that way, in a certain way, then you'd be able to provide people with perspective on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's a cool deep dive. I could go into that conversation for like hours.
That's cool. I love that. Would you rather have whatever you are thinking appear in a bubble above your head for everyone to read, or have absolutely everything you do be live streamed for everyone to watch?
Oh, my gosh. both nightmares.
PJ Oakland said that question is from the seventh circle of hell.
That is literally, that sounds exactly like PJ.
Yeah, doesn't it?
And oh my gosh, because there's no privacy.
Right.
Either way. I think if you chose the bubble, you would have to spend a lot of time alone recharging from having your thoughts fully out there for the world. Cause that means every stranger as you're walking by, I don't think you would be able to have any sort of real, I mean, maybe you would have more real relationships because there'd be full transparency between your inner life and your outer life. But everyone else would be at such of an advantage because they would know you, but you wouldn't know them fully.
Well, and the evil among us heard that and went, well, I would do the bubble because then I could control my thoughts and have people do my bidding by having them read what I want them to read. I'm like, we're going to keep an eye on you.
Yeah, that's a big, I think honest, oh God, because then you'd be like live streamed. That is an impossible question. I don't even know. They both are hell because you're like, wait, if I'm just like at home eating dinner, people are watching you. I think I'd have to do the circle bubbles.
Yeah.
And then do like, I don't know. Yeah, get trained in like really being very clear in my thoughts and everything.
Yeah.
Wow. I'd have to do it because like people just watching me every second of the day, that's like horrible. That's a nightmare.
Yes. Yeah, it is. That's why it's such an interesting topic for conversation. You're killed either way. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate it. For those of you, once again, Julie Wilson, go out to thearticulatecoach.com and you can see what she does. And you, obviously, if you're into audiobooks at all, I'm sure you've listened to something that she's produced over the period of time. But thank you again for doing this. This was a lot of fun. And thank you for listening. And we'll see you again next time on Hydrant. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us on The Hydrant. The Hydrant announcer is Allison Steele. For outstanding VO coaching and voice acting services, visit Allison at AllisonSteele.com. That's Allison with a Y and Steele with no E at the end. Shoot me an email with any comments, questions, worthwhile recipes at bigdog@jimcoopervo.com. This episode, copyright 2024 by Jim Cooper VO and Nat Landcore Audio, which is solely responsible for its content. No reproduction by writing, recording, reposting, smoke signals, AI voice loading, Morse code, or any other electronic or manual recording method known to man is allowed without prior written consent. Come back and play with us next week as the steady stream of outstanding guests continue at The Hydrant.